is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Have you ever had to say something, but you're kind of reluctant to say it, and you're not sure if you ought to say it at all? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program, and I've got to reference a movie title that I think is awful. And I also know that my grandmother listens to this program when I'm hosting this program, and I don't want to say the words "knocked up" where she can hear it, especially since I know she has washed my mouth out with soap before. She can do it again. And also, it's just a creepy, culturally degrading kind of a film. Haven't seen it, but from what you can tell from the reviews and the trailers. But there's something really interesting about this movie, and several others, being discussed today in publications as diverse as The Washington Post and Christianity Today. And that's the fact that in movies such as that, and Waitress, and Children of Men, and a whole host of other movies, abortion is present, the issue of abortion, but there seems to be a reluctance on the part of Hollywood to actually show people carrying through with an abortion decision. It's almost as though Hollywood recognizes that we're PC and we're pro-choice, but we don't want to have characters actually exercising the choice to have an abortion. And what I want to talk about today is, why is that? What's going on in Hollywood? And of course, we know that Hollywood really is just looking out and asking what's going on in American culture. What's happening in American culture that would cause Hollywood executives and filmmakers to say abortion is something we can't quite have as a storyline in television and in film? I think there's something going on here with the conscience. And I'd like you to join the conversation at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Should we really be excited about the fact that Hollywood is scared of abortion? Should we see this as a positive development our way in American culture? Or should we instead see the sadness of this in a conscience that on the one hand is revolted by the idea of taking innocent human life, and on the other hand wants to advocate for it? Let me know what you think at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. The abortionless cinema, is that a good thing for Christianity in America? 877-893-TALK. But first, in the news today, $660 million settlement in the clergy abuse case in Los Angeles, which means that victims may wind up with nearly $1 million apiece after attorney's fees. Saw some of them last night on Larry King Live talking about the fact that, yeah, they're glad that this settlement was reached. They're glad that there was this kind of vindication, but of course it cannot make up for lives that have been destroyed and lives that have been shredded by predatory clergy members. Also today in the news still, Senator David Vitter, Republican of Louisiana, who stood with his wife yesterday apologizing for his role in the D.C. Madam prostitution scandal. Standing there with his wife, you couldn't help but feel sorry for Wendy Vitter as she stood there with her husband as he spoke to this issue. She spoke specifically to the fact that reporters have been following them, been at their house, been at their church, and he spoke directly to the issue of privacy and also of his own personal regret. This is what Senator Vitter had to say.
Wendy and I dealt with this personally several years ago. I confronted it in confession and marriage counseling. I believe I received forgiveness from God. I know I did from Wendy, and we put it behind us. Since then, I've gotten up every morning committed to trying to live up to the important values we believe in. If continuing to believe in and acknowledge those values causes some to attack me because of my past failings, well, so be it.
Wendy Vitter, the senator's wife, had this to say.
Like all marriages, ours is not perfect. None of us are. But we choose to work together as a family. When David and I dealt with this privately years ago, I forgave David. I made the decision to love him and to recommit to our marriage.
Really sad to see Wendy Vedder being really in the situation of having to speak to these issues. And you see a marriage, it looks like, in crisis because of a husband's stupidity and sin. Still too early to say what the political ramifications will be. There are calls for Senator Vedder to resign from both the left and the right, but he says he's not going to do it. He's going to recommit himself to being an even better United States Senator for Louisiana. Associated Press poll shows that in the Republican presidential contest, none of the above is winning. Rudy Giuliani, Fred Thompson, John McCain, Mitt Romney are all bunched in there together, but none of the above so far receives the most votes. Probably not going to be able to actually win the nomination, and I doubt none of the above can knock Hillary Clinton out of her front-runner status, but right now it just shows that that race is in flux. And speaking of in flux, Ralph Nader says he is considering a 2008 presidential run, a third run for the presidency for Ralph Nader. He got 2.7% of the votes in the general election in the year 2000. Democrats, many of them still blame him for the fact that Al Gore did not win the state of Florida and thus did not win the presidency of the United States. And Ralph Nader says he doesn't care. He's going to jump in again, because no one else seems to be raising the kinds of issues about globalization and consumer protection and environmental protection and other issues that he wants to raise. Elizabeth Edwards, wife of former Senator John Edwards, presidential candidate in the Democratic Party, spoke to the Planned Parenthood Federation, and she says that her husband will be a better advocate on women's issues than Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton. And of course, we know women's issues in this venue is shorthand for abortion rights. Speaking of abortion rights, India trying to stop sex-selective abortions. India is recognizing that when you have a culture that denigrates womanhood, that really sees women as being expendable, that what you're going to have is sex-selective abortion. It's already against the law, but India says it's still happening. And it's happening precisely because there's not a valuing of unborn human life, and not especially a valuing of unborn female human life, and so India is seeking to find a way to try to address this. In one of the most bizarre stories I have seen in a long time, Walmart has decided that they're going to get in the religion business. And I don't just mean with religious books and trinkets, they're doing that already. Walmart is deciding to sell toys, faith-based toys, action figures of biblical figures. According to USA Today, Walmart has decided that stores that sell a lot of Bibles are going to carry the new line, and you should see these figurines. You've got Jesus action figures with moving arms. You have Moses. You have Miriam. There's a scene here in the USA Today of Samson fighting Goliath. Now, that's a match. They decided, let's take Samson, let's take Goliath. So you can just do Fantasy League WrestleMania with Bible characters, and Walmart's going to be selling that to evangelical parents and evangelical kids. And that's just what we need, more Bible-based, faith-based action figures and junk. Well, today we're talking about a really important, I think, and really serious issue, and that's abortion and the conscience on the screen. Several publications today have been talking about, from the Washington Post to Christianity Today, about the fact that you have in Hollywood, in the movies that have been coming out recently, many of them address the issue of abortion, but when they address the issue of abortion, they do so only at the level of theory. While you have characters going through every other kind of life change and every other kind of life stage, very, very rarely do you see a character, especially a positively portrayed character, in a film or on television who actually goes through with an abortion. Often you will have a character who becomes pregnant, decides to have an abortion, so it's still at the level of theory, but has a miscarriage or decides to keep the baby. This new movie, Knocked Up, which features a woman in an unplanned pregnancy, she decides to keep the baby. Now, why is this? Why is Hollywood so repulsed, it seems, over the issue of abortion? There must be something going on in American culture that Hollywood says abortion's okay as an ideological position, but abortion really is something when we see it up close, we recoil against it. What I want to know from you is, how should we view that in the church? Does this tell us something about where the consciences of our neighbors are when it comes to this issue? And how then can we address and speak to a nation of people with conflicted consciences about the shedding of innocent unborn human life? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Hollywood's reluctance to talk about abortion, is that good news for us? Or does it just show us we've got a lot more work to do? 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. I was 4 years old when that program was on television, but it was really the summation of feminist 1970s America, including a storyline with the major character having an abortion. That's something that you do not see in the year 2007, or if you see it, it's very, very rare. Washington Post writes today, and so does Christianity Today, about the fact that you have so many movies and television programs right now that seem to be scared of abortion. Not scared of abortion as a concept, but scared of abortion as a storyline. Why is that? What does this tell us about the conscience of our country? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Should we be happy about this? Or should we simply say, this just shows us no one is speaking, including our churches, to the burdened consciences of a nation in which more and more women have experienced, and more men, the shame and the sin of abortion. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and I have with me on the line today Professor Robert P. George, who is the McCormick Professor of Jurisprudence and Director of the James Madison Program in American Ideals and Institutions at Princeton University. Professor George is the author of books such as In Defense of Natural Law and The Clash of Orthodoxies. He's also a fellow senior editor with me of Touchstone Magazine. And I don't know any issue that Professor George cannot speak to winsomely and thoughtfully. And so I, including country music, by the way. And so I am really, really happy to have you with me today. Professor George, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thank you, Russell. It's a blessing to be on the show with you, and please give my best regards to Al.
I certainly will. You know, there's a lot of discussion these days about how Hollywood seems to be reluctant to carry through with a storyline about abortion. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that deep down, just about everybody knows that there's something very, very wicked, very evil about the taking of the life of an unborn child in the womb. People will proclaim themselves to be pro-choice. Some people are in the pro-choice vanguard and are willing to go out and march, don't like to face up to the ugly facts of what actually happens when a physician performs an abortion. That is, the taking apart, the dismantling of the body of what is undeniably a developing human being, the cutting off of arms and legs, the burning off of skin, the reassembling of the baby after the abortion has taken place. In order to ensure that no parts have been left inside the mother that can cause infection. It's a grotesque and nasty business. But it's not, it's very much not like removing a diseased organ or carrying out any other sort of surgical operation, removing an appendix, for example. No one finds that to be anything evil, something they can't think about. It's messy and it's bloody. The difference is we all know that an unborn baby, a fetus, is not like an appendix. Mm-hmm. Those arms are human arms. Those legs are human legs. That blood is human blood.
So now, of course, we know a movie such as Knocked Up, for instance, obviously is not taking abortion out of the storyline because they're trying to appease evangelical Christians and traditional Roman Catholics. Those people aren't going to be coming to this movie anyway. So you're saying that there's a sense of revulsion in the conscience even among secular liberal Americans.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's to some extent been deadened. To some extent, of course, it's repressed by such people. But deep, deep down, it's one of those things that my friend Jay Budashevsky describes as the things we can't not know.
Mm-hmm.
There are some
mm-hmm.
things that we know to be the case. And one of the things we know to be the case, no matter how much we try to suppress it, no matter how deeply we try to submerge it, even in our own consciences, one of the things we can't not know is that that creature being dismantled in the womb, being destroyed, having its life snuffed out, is a human being just like you and me.
Well, then what does that tell us, Professor George, about the way that we as Christians ought to be speaking to our neighbors, our secular and non-Christian neighbors, about these issues?
Well, we should be recognizing with St. Paul that they, too, are possessors of hearts.
Hmm.
And their hearts have written upon them certain profound truths, a law written on the hearts, St. Paul said, even of the Gentiles who do not have the law of Moses,
mm-hmm.
a law sufficient for accountability. They may deny the authority of the Bible, they may deny the normativity of Christian teaching, but they've got the natural law, the law written on the hearts, and as much as they try to submerge it, as much as they try to not think about it, turn away, look away, avert their eyes, it's there, and we can always appeal to it. We can always appeal to it. If they won't listen to Scripture, if they won't listen to the great Christian teachers of the past, the saints, if they won't listen to the church, they still have the law written on their hearts, and to that law we can make our first appeal.
I think, Professor George, there are a lot of churches, a lot of pastors particularly out there, who are trying to walk a very narrow tightrope. On the one hand, you want to be a prophetic witness against abortion. On the other hand, you want to apply the salve of the gospel to consciences that are deeply wounded by an abortion in the past. How should a church or a Christian try to keep that balance?
Speak truth in love, Russell. That's what God requires of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we speak truth in love precisely because we love even the person who has submitted to abortion. Indeed, we love even the abortionist who performs the horrible deed. Our love must be ungrudging. It must be godly. It must be forgiving. We're all sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And we all rely on God's profound forgiveness. We don't condemn. We condemn the act of abortion. We condemn evil acts. We don't condemn people. That's up to God. That's not our role. Ours is to reach out in love. But we're not loving anybody
mm-hmm.
when we hide from them the truth, Russell. I think that's the core of our Lord's message. We're not loving someone when we're pretending that what is wrong is right and what's right is wrong. We've got to get it straight. When Jesus confronted the woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, and when he turned away those who would stone her, he didn't say simply, "Go away, there's no such thing as sin."
Mm-hmm,
he
right.
said, "Go away and sin no more."
That's right. You know, Professor George, one of the things I found really interesting this past weekend is in the Modern Love section column of the New York Times on Sunday, there's an article by a woman deciding not to have an abortion. She doesn't even know why. She's pro-abortion. She doesn't know why she's deciding to have this baby. But she talks about the fact that her husband kept giving her pro-choice rhetoric. I think that is all too common. Predatory men who are using this kind of language in order to get away from the commitments that come with children.
Amen, brother.
Thank you so much,
right.
Professor George, for being on the program today. And I want to hear from you. What does the fact that Hollywood seems to be reluctant to deal with the issue of abortion, how should that inform us as churches and Christians about how we ought to be preaching and teaching on this issue and on the deeper issue of the conscience, of sin and guilt and judgment? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
So much for ditching this town and hanging out on the coast. Oh, well, those plans are long gone. And he said, there goes my life. There goes my future.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, a pro-life song by Kenny Chesney, There Goes My Life. There are many people out there in American culture who will tell you, I believe in the right to abortion. I believe that abortion is no big deal, many of them will say. And yet, for some reason, Hollywood doesn't want to show abortion as part of a storyline. What does that tell us about the conscience of America? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And I'm especially interested in how then, if we understand what Robbie George said a few minutes ago, and I think he's right, that it's not that Hollywood is trying to appease pro-life people, evangelicals and Roman Catholics and others. I think what Hollywood's trying to do is to recognize that even secular, liberal, pro-abortion people are made uncomfortable by the idea of abortion. How then should we in our churches speak to that discomfort? How should we speak to those consciences of people who recognize there's something wrong in this world and speak prophetically to it at the same time that we speak to people, to women who've had abortions, to men who have paid for or pressured women for abortions? How do we speak to them of the forgiveness and grace of Jesus Christ in a way that addresses the conscience at the deepest level? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Andrew calling from Oregon. Andrew, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hello.
Are you there, Andrew? What's your thought today?
Yes, it was that the abortion thing.
Yeah.
Goes back as far as at least 1970, because I was watching Airport not too long ago. With Dean Martin and George Kennedy and Helen Hayes and all this, but Dean Martin's character had gotten Jacqueline Bisset's character's girlfriend, the flight attendant, pregnant.
Yeah.
And then they were discussing abortion, and she decided not to go through it. And then I was thinking about, I was listening to you, the Dirty Dancing had the, I can't remember the name of the character, but it was the dancer, the professional dancer that had the illegal abortion. And then the daughter of the father that was like the main character in the movie was the one that she conned money out of him to pay for this, and then he finds out about it and gets like really upset with her.
Yeah. Yeah, Andrew, I think you do have examples here and there of abortions taking place in storylines, but not in the positive kind of portrayal. I mean, I'm thinking of very, very few examples and exemptions to that. For instance, Cider House Rules, which is an explicitly pro-abortion, explicitly pro-death movie, glorifying the idea of death. But even then, they have to couch it in this concern for orphans and this concern for women who have so many children that, according to the storyline, they can't take care of them. There's still a recognition this is going to make people uncomfortable. What do you think? What is the fact that Hollywood's afraid of abortion, the fact that it seems that American culture, we like the idea of abortion in secular liberal America, but we don't like the idea of abortion itself? How do we as churches and Christians speak to that conscience in a way that both offers forgiveness in the gospel and a prophetic stance against the blood of the innocent being shed? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Susan calling from Norfolk, Virginia. Susan, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you for taking my call. I always enjoy listening to you. I'll try to keep my comments brief. I'm a product of the 70s, and I remember when there seemed to be more of a pro-choice approach to issues like abortion. I know, I myself know, you know, five or six women that have had abortions, and I don't think they get to recognize that perhaps in the entertainment industry there are women that are my age that are on the tail end of it. They've had the choice. They've made the choice. They've seen friends go through it, and they've seen how they've suffered. I have had many friends that have, gone through it and regretted it later. They've celebrated babies' birthdays a year afterwards. You know, they've had many regrets. And I think that, you know, it's hard for me oftentimes to make a secular sacred split.
Yeah.
But perhaps God is moving. You know, he's moving in the hearts of the country and moving in a lot of people's hearts, whether we see the split or not.
Susan, I think that actually is an excellent point, that perhaps you have women, even in the film industry, who have lived through the horror and violence of abortion. Maybe the sensitive conscience is actually on the other side of the camera as well. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Hollywood seems to think America is uncomfortable with abortion. What should that tell us about how we ought to address the issue as churches? 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. That's one of the most tragic songs I think I've ever heard, because you've got this tone of regret over abortion, and yet even the regret is a kind of self-justifying regret. Let's hold down and suppress the truth and unrighteousness, as the Apostle Paul would say, and just try to avoid the fact that what happened happened. Obviously, there are a lot of people in that situation. Otherwise, as the Washington Post and Christianity Today are pointing out today, you wouldn't have Hollywood so squeamish about abortion. My question for you is, if that's the case, if it's true that Hollywood is afraid to show the abortion storyline because they know it makes us uncomfortable, then how then should we speak to people? Secular, liberal, pro-abortion people who come into our churches all the time, or people who come into our churches who have actually lived through an abortion. And there are many of them in our churches, in our pews. How should we speak to them in a way that balances an appeal to the conscience prophetically against the evil of this with an appeal to the conscience with the grace and forgiveness and mercy of Jesus Christ? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Maybe you've seen a church that addresses the conscience well on these issues, a church that is strongly committed to the sanctity of human life and speaks prophetically to that, and yet at the same time welcomes in women and men who have been involved in abortion. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How should we address the conscience when it comes to the issue of abortion? We have Claire on the line. Claire, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, Dr. Moore. Thanks for taking my call. It seems like you've kind of reframed the question in this second portion. Originally, I thought you were asking why might Hollywood be doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of responding to that. Well, I had a little more sinister motive in mind than what Professor George suggested. We know, as do the proponents of the culture of death, that if women know the full story, they're less likely to choose an abortion. And I wonder if Hollywood might purposely not want to get women thinking about all of the consequences and ramifications, because we know that then they tend not to choose an abortion when they know the whole story.
Well, Claire, that may be. I think that you probably do have that as part of the motivation taking place there. At the same time, I do think that there's a sense in which Hollywood, of course, they're wanting to sell tickets. That's ultimately what they want to do. They want to get ratings on television programs. That's what they're after. And I think if you had an American culture that celebrated abortion to the degree that the very fact of abortion, to the degree that it would sell tickets, they'd feature it. They don't. And that tells me that you've got an American populace that wants abortion. And I do not think this means that we're winning the culture war on abortion. I think that you've got a populace that wants abortion but doesn't want to think about it. And my question to you is, then how should that change the way that we address the issue in our churches? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Lindsay on the line. Lindsay, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Hi.
What's your thought today?
Thank you for taking my call.
Glad to.
I just wanted to say, I'm from Texas, actually, and I went to the church there, and we had a women's program where younger women met with older women and met for, like, once a month. And I was shocked to hear how many women that were godly leaders in our church had gone through abortion back, you know, in the 70s or whenever.
Yeah.
And it was actually through the church that they was the only place that they said that they had found those wounds being healed, because the church was teaching forgiveness for all sins, you know, and it was really neat for me to hear, because here they were now, and they were married to godly men and had many children, and they still had that, you know, grief over what they had done, but it was more of for the women who were going through that now, you know, and I thought that was really cool, because that's such a thing that we can be so judgmental on. You see people that have those posters with the fetuses and all these things on there, just condemning women, and I thought it was really refreshing to see women who are truly repentant and forgiven for the sins that they had committed.
What do you think? How can our churches effectively address a conscience that we see is obviously not all that comfortable with abortion? Even our Hollywood producers are afraid to show it. So how can we as churches speak to the conscience in a way that balances truth and love, that speaks to the issue of the protection of unborn life and speaks directly and prophetically and insistently and unapologetically, and yet at the same time speaks to a conscience, many consciences in our churches, burdened down with the accusation, you had an abortion. You paid for an abortion. You pressured someone for an abortion. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I think Lindsay is actually onto something here when she speaks of the ministry of this church, specifically in terms of older women and younger women. I think that you've got to have pulpit proclamation. You've got to have strong teaching in the life of the local church. But that is something that is essential, especially when you're dealing with a plague and a scourge and a sin that affects women directly in this way, is we have to have older women in the churches who are willing to mentor, for lack of a better word, who are willing to disciple, as a better word, younger women, and who are able to not just tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ and not just speak to them about the forgiveness of sin, but actually to model it. This is what it means to be a sinful woman restored in Christ. We need the same thing with men who are willing to disciple younger men and say, I'm not just going to tell you about forgiveness of sin. I'm not just going to tell you about the transforming power of the gospel. I want you to see it in a life that is being lived of a sinner who's forgiven, who's redeemed, who every day has to wake up and say to all of the powers of accusation out there, I no longer live. I'm crucified with Christ. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. Hollywood is afraid of abortion. Our culture seems to be, too, at one level. How should we speak to them as churches? 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller, and this is the Albert Mueller Program.
Your eyes so you can see the way He meant this world to be, and understand with a childlike heart the place we end is where we start.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller. Hollywood, it seems, is afraid of the issue of abortion. Not afraid to speak to the legality of abortion. Not afraid to say that abortion is not that big of a deal. But afraid of the narrative of abortion. Afraid to place a sympathetic character in the place of actually carrying through with an abortion. And the question is, why? I think it's not because they're saying this is a controversial issue. Hollywood deals with controversial issues all of the time. I think instead you have Hollywood recognizing there's something within the conscience of people that tends to recoil, at least still at this time, over the issue of abortion. When I was in college one time, I remember a conversation over abortion and over the legality of abortion, Roe versus Wade, and there was a couple there, a young man and his girlfriend, and he became very angry and was very insistent on a so-called pro-choice view of abortion. His face was red as he's yelling, "This is a woman's right, this is a woman's choice." And I remember seeing his girlfriend kind of walk over to the side with tears running down her face and realize what's happening there. There was an abortion there, probably. This is a situation in which he is trying desperately to justify the abortion on the basis of some kind of political rhetoric. But you know what? It doesn't work. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 2, as Professor George said, that everyone is built in with a conscience. There's a conscience that speaks to us. And what we do is we paper it over. We wall it over. We try to silence it. We try to shut it down, but it's always there. What we need in our churches are churches willing to stand up, as John the Baptist did with Herod, and say, "This is evil. This is wrong." On the other hand, to have churches that are able to stand up and say to men and women who have committed this horrible evil, "You've already, if you're in Christ, been through hell at the cross." We're not simply saying this is okay. We're saying that you have already been judged. There is no longer any judgment, no longer any condemnation for those who are in Christ. The blood of Jesus covers every sin, including that of abortion, so that when you come before God, you're not coming before God as, "Oh, that's the person who had the abortion." You're coming before God clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's good news. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.